Hey, it's Jenny Nash, and if you've been curious about becoming a book coach, I'd like to invite you to a live training I'm going to be doing on February 4th at 5 p.m. PST, which is 8 p.m. EST, and I'm going to be talking about how to become the kind of book coach writers love to pay. You can sign up for that at bookcoaches.com/live. That's bookcoaches.com/live. I'd love to see you there. Hey everyone, it's Jenny, and this is the Hashtag AmWriting Podcast, the place where we help you play big in your writing life, love the process, and finish what matters. All four of us are here today to talk about our word of the year for 2026 and our goals. This is one of our favorite episodes to do, and we've all been kicking our words around, and we're ready to share them with you. So, Serena, do you want to go first?
Okay.
I just know you're kind of ready.
Right off that diving board. No throat clearing, no chit chat. Yeah, we're just
all righty. All right. So I'm Serena and I write novels, and pretty much that is all I write. So my goals tend to look kind of the same from year to year, but how I feel about them changes. So in 2026, I plan to write 2 to 3 books. And when I do, I will be rolling off of 2 contracts with 2 different publishers. So that means that the other part of my 2026 is really asking myself what I want to do next. Because, you know, finishing energy is a really hard thing, but I'll be like extra super finishing energy here because I'm finishing a commitment. And, you know, I used to have goals like, I'm going to write more books. I'm going to write all the books. And I don't anymore because there was a while there where I only wrote books. And then last year, I did a really nice job of meeting my goals that I would also go and have more fun and take more vacations. And it worked. I did that. And it turns out that planning fun takes a lot of energy and time.
It really does.
Oh my goodness. It was, so I was either off having a wild time or I was like, you know, nailed to my desk. And, so I need to do a slightly better job of that this year. Although looking at the schedule, it's a little hard to see how, because I'm spending a big chunk of March and part of April in Australia and Hong Kong. And then,
can't just throw that in and not say why.
Oh, well, I'm doing 4 reader events in Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, and Perth.
It's so exciting. So exciting.
And, you know, time will tell if accepting this invitation was, in fact, a good idea. When I get home, it'll be June, and I will be launching my second book of 2026, which is a romance. And but then, you know, I will have turned in half of what I'm turning in this year, and I will be able to have big thoughts about what I do next. And that is the thing that is going to be hard about this year, not turning in files, but, you know, deciding what does it mean to me. And also a thing that I realized last year while balancing my busy life is that in this job, there is no summit. It's not like you climb that big hill and then you stand there and you hear an angel choir and then, you know, that the only thing that greets you after writing a big novel is that you will pretty soon eventually write another one. So you have to enjoy the hike itself. And I am really working on that.
I actually have just, to address what you just mentioned, Serena, I have put in my calendar in June, since I happen to love the mid-year check-ins on goals, I put a little note to self, to future Jess, to revisit Serena's goals at mid-year so that we can talk about maybe what that second half of the year, what comes next stuff is going to look like. So expect that to come back around, Missy.
Okay. I hope there's some clarity by then, so I'll get right on that.
Well, and I would also like to mention, you mentioned, you know, all the work you're doing and doing fun and stuff like that. You also went back to skating this year, and I have loved watching you relearn something fairly new and gain skills and get determined to, like, be able to do that. What's it called when you change the side of the blade you're on when you turn?
Yeah, all that edge work. It's very exciting. And those three turns. Yeah. Yeah, so that is part of my leave the house and have fun plan. And that has worked out really well. When you do something that's so outside of your usual, like, we could just stipulate by now that I'm pretty good at writing a novel because I have turned in a number of them and sold a number of them, but I am really not good at skating. So when you take yourself so far out of your element and you do something that is so foreign to you, you relearn all those weird little tricks about how you learned anything. And the fact that last year I could not do a three turn to save my life, which is where you turn around on one foot. And I tried and I tried and I tried and I tried to trick myself into it. And I'm like, okay, I'll take off on 2 feet, but land on one. I just, every single thing didn't work. And then this year, now I can do it. And also I woke up at 4 a.m. once and thought, I could do a waltz jump tomorrow. And then the next day I did, in fact, just do a waltz jump. And I hadn't even been thinking about it. It wasn't even on my list of things I was going to try that week. So learning something really, really new is really just great for your brain and your attitude. And I don't know what the next thing that I do like that will be, but yeah, I'm a fan.
But I must reflect back to you that a few years ago, you were, I think the goals had to do, you were working so hard and just, you know, book to book to book to book. And like, look at you now, you're going on all these trips and you're learning to ice skate. And I know you and KJ are learning Mahjong,
yes.
And you write in coffee shops. Like, you've kind of really changed that vibe. It's cool.
I did it, right? Like I said, I'm going to have more fun. I'm going to learn to write out of the house. Like, I sat in a room and said to you that this was going to happen. And I did, right? But then writing the actual books, it magically did not get easier. So I am having more fun, but it's still hard. And that's how I'm coming to this new realization that, like, you know, I need to stop being surprised that the actual job is hard, but it's just like a piece of the fun that I'm having. And I can only write books that I'm probably going to enjoy because it's still hard and it still takes a lot of hours.
That's amazing. I feel compelled to ask you, what are you most enjoying about what you're writing right now?
Oh, where we are at maximum finishing energy because I am finishing a revision, which is scary, right? Because then you're sending it off into the world and telling yourself that it's done. And I have to say, I have not enjoyed it all that much. This has been one of the more stressful weeks. But there are moments as I look through this manuscript, because I've just reached that point where you hate every living word of it, right? Where I read a line and I laugh, and then that's just a good sign.
Like, I'm so clever. Look at me.
I actually just for fun, I traveled an hour and a half to go so that I could go sit in a coffee shop and work with these guys because I miss them so much. And I took 2 pictures of Serena while she was working there. And in one, she had this look on her face. I just dropped it in our group text just now, where she's got this look on her face like, this is the hardest, worst thing I've ever done. And then I also took one of her smiling and looking like her usual happy self. But I love having those 2 pictures together on my phone because it's so representative of the slog. How there are these moments of really having fun and engaging with the book and loving it. And then there's those moments of editing where you're trying to just finish it and get all the words in the right order.
Yep. It's you know, the push and pull. And the trick to liking this job is that when you're in that trench of, oh, I have to be finished with this, I have to love it, I have to set it free, you have to remember that the other side is out there, that, like, the drafting happy, I haven't made any big mistakes yet. I haven't sealed off all the exits yet. Like that's waiting for you on the other side of it. You know, if you get too deep in one place or the other so that you can't remember the other one is out there for you, then that's a trap. It makes the job harder.
Well, thank you for that. Jess, do you want to go next?
Sure. So last year was weird. I'm going a little bit into what my word was last year. It was amplified because it sort of guided a lot of my goals last year, which had to do with just reaching more people. But during the course of the year, reaching and educating more people on the topics that I feel really strongly about, like mental health, wellness, specifically substance use prevention as it relates to things like self-efficacy in kids and feelings of competence in kids. I realized sort of partway through the year how much more I was enjoying and feeling engaged when I was talking to the kids and how much more impactful I felt when I was talking to the kids. And that shouldn't be surprising, but if you're not a speaker and if you don't spend your time speaking to adults and kids and especially teens, you should know it takes, you know, maybe 3 to 4 times as much energy to talk to the kids as it does to the adults. In fact, yesterday I was trying to explain to someone why a virtual event to a lot of kids doesn't work. I can't project that much energy through a screen to captivate a big room of kids. It's really hard to do. And anyway, so I realized about halfway through the year that I really wanted, when I thought about that word amplify and expanding on the number of kids that I reach per year and the depth to which I am able to reach some kids in particular, it comes down to not just people, but this kid specifically. So I talked with my agents and we've agreed that I'm going to try to incorporate more kids this year, that even if it's more exhausting for me, it's more fulfilling. And so that's one of my big goals for this year, is to figure out how, yes, I still have to talk to adults and I have to help them understand how to talk to their kids about substance use and mental health and how to see, know, love, support the kids you have and not the kids you wish you had and all that stuff. But when it comes down to it, I have to figure out ways to get in the room with kids more. And
you're a kid introvert.
Apparently.
Like some people get their energy from being with people and some people get, you know, it takes, that's extroverts and introverts. Yep. So you're a kid introvert. You get your energy from talking to kids.
It's that's in the moment. In the moment, it's much more exhausting, but there was I spoke at a school in Los Angeles. It was one of the best days I had in front of kids. And the number of emails I got afterwards explaining why it was meaningful to them. You know, I love when the kids, anytime a kid reaches out, it's this huge honor because, you know, who am I? I'm some adult that comes into their school because their teachers say that, and now their teachers say they have to listen to this bozo. They don't know who this person is. But over time, I figured out ways to help them trust me a little bit more even before I get there, like creating these videos where I introduce myself ahead of time. So I'm trying to figure out all the ways in to getting, being a trusted adult. Becoming a trusted adult to more and more kids is something that's incredibly important to me because that's where the great education stuff lies. So that amplify word changed for me over last year, and it's reflected in this year's goals as well, which is get in front of more kids. I track those numbers really carefully. Last year, I was in front of just shy of 10,000 people generally and a couple of thousand kids, and I just want to change that ratio a little bit so that it's more heavily in the kid direction and less heavily in the adult direction, just because it's fun and really interesting and challenging. That's the other thing, is when you've been doing something for a long time, there are some talks I can do in my sleep because I've done them so many times and I don't want to do that. Like, why would you want to come and spend time with someone who's asleep in front of you, but, you know, they look good and it sounds good, but they're not totally invested. And I think everybody can feel that. So I've had to find ways to change things up, to reevaluate my content from other angles so that I'm not getting sick of myself and so that I can be fresh and new and useful to people. So And then, like, I have small goals. You know, Serena was just talking about her skating and looking, you know, trying to do something completely new that makes you a little nervous. You know, the beekeeping thing still makes me super nervous. And as I mentioned in another episode, I think Tim saw me emotionally preparing to do something I needed to do with the bees. And he said, I have never seen you so nervous and so doubting yourself about your ability to do something. And I realized how good that is for me. And so we will see at the end of this winter if my bees actually made it through the winter. And if they did, I'll have a hive of bees to deal with. And if they don't, I'll have to get a new hive. But that's been really, really good for me. Serena, did you want to add something?
I have a question. Do we have a writing goal for this year?
Yes, we do. And that's actually at the bottom of my list because it's new. So I've been attending this weekly, really interesting virtual blueprint for a book, fast track, what is it, jumpstart, you guys, with Jenny Nash, this really great book coach and founder of Author Accelerator, and KJ Delantonia. And I have been actually writing, working on this novel that I've been working on for ages and ages and ages and thinking about at a minimum once a week. And I'm going to finish it this year, 100%. I'm going to finish it this year. And I'm really grateful to Jenny and KJ because being in that being in there is forcing me to ask me all kinds of questions about why am I even bothering to stick with this thing that has stymied me for over a decade? Like, why bother if it's been that hard and I haven't ever gotten it done? Why am I even doing it? And I love asking myself those questions. It's been really fun. Plus, there's like 100 other people in that virtual session asking themselves the same questions and coming up with really cool answers for why they're even writing something in the first place. And it gets at all these fundamental questions of why we do what we do. So yes, I will be, I'm researching a nonfiction thing still. I'm looking at a stack of books behind me, but I'm going to finish this YA novel this year, period, full stop. It's going to happen.
Well, what's cool is, I mean, YA is not children, but it's young people. So that's kind of cool. It goes with your other
thing. There's a thread there. Yeah. And it was funny because when you were asking the why the other night, and one of my things was, oh, because these characters speak to me, blah, blah, blah. And KJ mentioned, oh, I do know what Jess is talking about. And maybe it's, you know, she wants to write a coming of age story. And that's 100% it. I think I have, I very much love that coming of age space and the struggles that middle school and high school kids go through in that coming of age space. And I think I have an interesting insight into it and an ability to make it come alive on the page. And I, for me, really want to do that. I really want to see it on the page. And I'm really excited about it.
You do have such a compassion for that age and what people are going through and how hard it is. And
I love these characters. And I said, I love these characters and I want to do right by them. And that's true too. I do love these characters and I can't stop thinking about them.
That is the best reason to finish any piece of fiction, yeah. You know?
Yeah. No, I really, it's like they're stuck until I help them get to the other side. And I would hate to leave them there. It would make me feel really bad.
I love it. Well, committing to something that you've been working on for that long, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it's also one of those, I know it's going to feel really, really good when I finish it. It'll be like, oh my gosh, I've been harping on that for whatever it is now, 12 or 13 years, and I finally finished it. So I know it's going to be one of those, I'm going to be very, very glad I did it when it's done. And is it super hard? Yes, I've, you know, bitched and moaned about this in the past that fiction is really hard for me and dialogue is so hard for me. But that's what I'm writing right now.
Another learning edge, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Awesome. KJ, what about you?
My only goal this year with respect to writing is to write this book as hard as I can for as long as it takes. That's all I got.
I got a couple other goals. I'd like to get my Christmas tree down at some point during the year. It seems like a plan. I was pretty excited about the Valentine's Day concept a few years ago, but I don't know. People have been really negging on it. Easter also apparently not tree material. I mean, come on, the 4th? I'm seeing it. No one else is. So there's that. No, my big life goal is to leave more white space for myself in my day and in my calendar to do things, to not do things, and for the unexpected things, both good and bad things. I have a real tendency to be like, from 11:30 to 1, I'm doing this, and from 1:30 to 2:30, there's this, and hey, at 3, there's this, and that is, in fact, an excellent description of my day, and sometimes I like it, but I just do it to myself constantly, and I need to stop. That's all.
Okay, mic drop.
I really need to stop.
I'm just thinking about that white space. What happens when you have white space?
You know, what happens to me when I have white space, because I'm actually pretty good at keeping it in my calendar, is that I get an email that's like, and today we will be choosing among these 8 narrator auditions, and then you will decide who is the narrator for this book that you haven't been thinking about for 4 months since you last did the copy edits. And then my whole day just explodes in a little puff of admin, like trying to get out of my own inbox is killing me. So yeah, I don't, it's not even that I planned it. Other people are making this my problem, and I wish I had a 2026 goal for how to fix it.
Yeah, there's that. I mean, to some extent, I think that's my point, is that I would like to stop doing it to myself, because, I mean, for
other
example,
people
the
will.
Thing at three, exactly, the thing at three okay. is was not my idea. Nor was the thing, the unexpected event at 8 o'clock this morning, or the one when I walked in from the expected thing from 9 to 10. I need to do a little less of it for myself to allow for the fact that the other things in my life, I think, and I did this to some extent last year too, my final kids have actually all left for college this year, which is great. But they're still a lot of trouble. And also I have a lot of pets, and also just there's a lot going on. So I sort of thought, and I really made this mistake in the fall pretty hard. I thought, oh, I should probably feel like I should put some things on the calendar because I might feel sad. A, I still felt sad, and that was okay. And B, I put way too much on the calendar given the number, amount of time I had to spend on. I'm just, yeah. And here I am thinking I didn't do it in the spring, and I didn't, but I sort of am doing it on a daily basis. Like, oh, look, and some of that is just that this was, am I wrong? Was this the longest holiday season ever in the history of holiday season? Like, it was still Christmas on January 17th. I swear to God. And so a lot of it, I think, is I'm feeling a little dejected because my days are really packed, because I had the sense not to put everything in the week of January 6th, but I put a lot of things this week and last week. So hopefully I'll, but having done that and now feeling it, I think, I hope will inspire me to block off more time that I no doubt will get filled with things, but that's better than it getting filled with things and my having already filled it.
Yep.
It's not going so great.
I get that.
All right, Jenny, I think you're up.
So for me, I made some really big moves in my business in 2025, and they worked, and that was great. And I made a decision toward the end of the year to make even bigger moves, and did some thinking about, I wouldn't say an exit strategy or a succession plan, but I'm 62 this year, and I'm working really, really, really hard in my business day to day, running, you know, a pretty big, small business. And I really want more time to create, to create curriculum, to, I just like making things, you know, to work on the podcast, to work on my own book. And I'll talk about that in a minute. And so I made a training plan to teach my team to take over the things that they are fully capable of taking over if I just get it out of my head and onto a page to teach them how to do it. So it's a really big move for me, and kind of a terrifying move. It means trusting people. It means handing over some things. It means there's some ego-y things involved in that. The idea that nobody can do it as well as I can. So yeah, that's big. It's big mindset. It's big actual shifting of duties. It's kind of the white space idea writ large. What would it look like for me to have more white space? And it is not retiring. It's not stopping. It's just, can I do more of what I want to do and less of the day to day of this business? I am constantly surprised by the thing I have made. Author Accelerator has more than 375 certified book coaches now, and it's this huge community, and they're having a huge impact. And a lot of my coaches are becoming huge their own selves and doing really well, and just we're becoming known, and all of that takes time to manage. Like I wouldn't call it the brand. It's the community. It just takes a lot of time to manage, and the kinds of inquiries that we get and that sort of thing. And it's a thing that needs care, and I'm the one to give it that care. So just meeting the moment, I guess, is what my goal is for the year. And as part of that, the right big sessions that I've been doing here at the podcast are my stepping into that space of thought leadership and creation, content creation in a different way. I haven't talked about this a lot, but I am writing a right big book. And I went out and found myself a brand new agent. I did my search from scratch. I did it cold. I tried to find the perfect agent for this book rather than somebody that I knew, because I know a lot of agents. I don't want to talk about a lot of specifics at the moment about who that person is or what's happening really, but I will say that it's taken a little minute to get it together, because that's how it happens sometimes. But the book is out on submission even as we speak. And I was telling KJ, this agent does something that I've never heard of and never seen. And I love it so much, which is that she shares a spreadsheet of the submissions and puts the responses right in there. So I can log in, you know, 10, 12, 25 times a day. And
just normal, healthy behavior.
Right? Which is so fantastic, rather than like, why isn't she telling me, or how come we haven't heard or whatever. But it's very, very early days. And so all that's coming in are the no's, because that's what happens. But the no's are so great. I love them so much. They're totally boosting me up, because like people know me, they know my work, they like my work. Like I don't know. I'm just so delighted by the nature and quality of the nose, which is just a funny place to be. But that is where I am. So
Jenny, it's a fantastic place to be. Like I have never heard another author say the nose make me happy. Like that is not a sentence I have heard in my life, and I know a lot of authors. So the fact that, you know, I just have good feelings and good thoughts about this project, and you are amazing.
Well, thank you. And that is not by accident. That's what writing big means, right? It's like, I own this idea. I'm not waiting to be picked. I'm not waiting to be anointed. I'm not waiting for somebody to say, you know, good job. But when they do, and, you know, these no's are just in indications, like, I self-published the blueprint books, and I sort of think of them as this little thing that I made, that I made them for my coaches to use in their coaching. And I made them to, it's a model that I teach. I didn't ever think of it as a thing, but I've sold more than 20,000 copies of the blueprint books my own self. And, but I just didn't think like editors would know what they are. They would use them with their own authors. They would know my company. They would know my coaches. And that's what all the no's are showing me. And that I'm just like, when do you get a mirror into your impact? It feels like the no's are a mirror into my impact. And I feel, I feel like there's no doubt that something great is going to happen with this book. I have no doubt. So bring on the no's and have them be awesome, because I know good things, great things are coming. And whether, who knows what path that is going to be, but that, that is where I am. And the, that sharing of the spreadsheet that this agent has done is just feeding right into, I mean, for other people, it might be the biggest disaster in the world. But for me, I'm like, this is so fun. I love it. That's my goal is for the year to lean into this bigger vision of what I can be.
That's a good goal.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to share my word first, because okay. It just goes so well with what I've just been saying. And it's so obvious and it's so great. And my word of the year is play big. Play big.
That's okay. Two words.
That's two words. I get two words.
She's allowed to have two words because she's playing big.
All right. We have to go in reverse order then. So, KJ, what's your word?
Oh, my word of the year is alive.
Oh dear. That okay. That's a no, quite a goal you got there, Missy.
It's a good word.
Can you explain?
She can't, yes, because she's laughing really hard right now.
It was gonna be enthusiast, because I wanted to be sort of welcoming both the challenges and the excitements of my life, but I really just feel like, and then it was gonna be relish, but that's pickles and I hate them. And then I just feel really good about just letting it all come and being a part of it. And also not pickles. Woo-hoo. Okay. It's a good word.
Serena.
I've used a lot of the words.
Oh, not yet. Sorry.
She said reverse order.
So hard.
Oh, she said reverse order. That's right.
We have done this so many times, and we have never laughed all the way through it before.
I know.
Okay, okay.
Woo! KJ is right, though. We have used all of the words. I actually considered reusing one of my words this year, but then I thought maybe that was a cop-out, so I did come up with a new word.
I considered it, and then I was too lazy to go look them up.
That's quite a statement there, Bowen.
I know.
I knew I'd had savor before. That was kind of where I was going, but
I can't stop laughing.
I don't know. I feel very gritty about my word. I like
I snort laughing over here at the idea of I'm never going to not hear relish in pickles.
I know. I know. I like it so much. Oh, I love it.
Well, she really doesn't like pickles. KJ is that friend where if she is served a pickle with her lunch, yeah, you can take it.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Uh-huh.
And the bit of bread that it touched.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jess.
Fries.
Jess, I don't know how you're going to follow this, but do you have a word?
I do have a word, and I'm really excited about this word because years ago, when I did a really cool conference in Abu Dhabi, I met this woman that I was shocked I hadn't met before, but her name is Elke Govertsen. Elke, and she has a Substack. Her Substack is just, it's at Elke is her, she managed to snag at Elke. She has a newsletter. She has something called Open Nesting. She's got older kids. Anyway, I subscribe to her Substack. I love it. She's one of those people that when she walked out on stage to give her talk, she just glowed from inside. Like she was one of those people that you just, I felt really drawn to. And so I started following her. And her year, her word for this year, I really liked, although I've thought about it in a different way than she did. Her word for the year is allow, A-L-L-O-W. And so that is my word for the year, to allow myself to do some things, for example, finishing this book and just realizing, allowing myself to be really bad at it and hoping that I can pull it off, allowing myself to look really dumb doing stuff like the beekeeping, allowing myself some grace about the fact that I'm probably killed my bees this winter because they're not insulated enough, all of the things. But I just really liked her word, allow. So that's where I am. That's my word. I was gonna redo evaluate because I really did like that one because that the emphasis there was like figure out what's valuable to you. But whatever, I've used that one before. So I'm gonna give credit out to Elke and go with allow.
Okay.
Serena, what about you?
Well, you know, I picked a word and I usually really struggle with this and I never feel quite comfortable with it, but I picked something or it just picked me one day. And that word is esteem. And my little job is having a strange little moment of esteem because there's this show that's at the tippy top of HBO right now called Heated Rivalry. And Heated Rivalry is a book that is a queer hockey romance, which is something that I have also written since 2014. And it has, strangely, some of my best performing books ever over the last decade fall into what I thought was a niche. So I write this niche thing and people read it and they love it. But, you know, it has always stayed in its corner until now. And Rachel Reed is the author of the book called Heated Rivalry, from which this TV show was made very faithfully. And Heated Rivalry is a fantastic novel, by the way. Fantastic conflict and an interesting story structure. So it has been quite a revelation to watch her book and story reach an audience that I did not feel it was capable of. And there is something about that that really spoke to all the parts about my business where, for example, sometimes I have to do research. And early on, I almost felt apologetic about asking an orthopedic surgeon to talk to me about something for a romance novel because I just assumed that they would roll their eyes. I did it anyway. Thank you, Dr. Mark, for explaining knee surgery to me. But so esteem is a couple of different things. It is choosing projects that I esteem and that I care about, not because I think they'll sell, but because I love them. And also just realizing that the esteem that comes to various things that we do is not always predictable or measurable or something to rely upon. So I have to esteem it all on my own before I commit the time to do that. And that is how I ended up picking this word that I really like. It's kind of a quiet word. It doesn't, it isn't sexy, I guess is a word I would describe it. Not really, but it is it's like asks you to pause and measure how we feel about something before we commit. And that is how I ended up there.
I love that meaning to the word. I love it.
Something that also occurs to me is you spoke with such esteem about this other author mm-hmm. and the work that she's done. And that's something that you often do. And you lift up all the writers in lots of different ways. And that esteem you have for the process of writing and the publishing business and the hard work of it comes across as well. So I like that meaning too.
Well, thank you. I had an interesting conversation with my 22-year-old son, who is quite a reader. Right now, he's trying to get to the end of Crime and Punishment before his semester really kicks in. And he asked me over drinks on a trip to Boston that I was making time for, so go me, if I could write like anyone, like if I could suddenly have the skills of any author, dead or alive, who would I pick? And I instantly gave him a couple of names in contemporary fiction that he has never read and never will, because there are people who write books that are not for 22-year-old nerds. And he sort of blanked and he's like, no, mama, like you could be Tolstoy, you know, like you could pick anything. And I'm like, no, I'm serious. I have esteem for the things these people are doing in contemporary fiction. And it's like that that George Michael quote, like, when are you going to make some serious music? And he says, you don't understand. I'm very serious about pop music. And, you know, it's my right to esteem whatever I choose. And I really do choose this. It's not a runner-up thing for me. This is my interest and I'm going to value it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
I feel like we should end on that.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to stop.
That was some power language there. We would love our listeners to share in the chat your goals for the year, your words for the year, how you feel about pickles and their touching of bread. We would love to hear all the things from you. And until next time, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game.
The Hashtag Am Writing podcast is produced by Andrew Perilla. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.